Hello, and welcome to Practical Significance, a podcast to inspire listeners with compelling stories from statistics and data science and to propel data-driven careers forward. Here are your hosts, the ASA's Associate Executive Director, Donna Lalonde, and Executive Director, Ron Wasserstein.
Welcome, everyone, to a new season of Practical Significance, and we truly are celebrating the new year with a new collaboration. So we are delighted to welcome John Baylor and Rosemary Pennington, who you all know as the hosts of Stats and Stories, with some exciting updates about Stats and Stories. So even though John and Rosemary have been guests before, we'll ask them to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about their day job. So, Rosemary, I'll start with you.
Great. I'm Rosemary Pennington. I am the chair of the Department of Media, Journalism, and Film at Miami University. I research media representation and the panelist moderator. I don't know that the terms make sense anymore, but I guess I host Stats and Stories.
That's great. And John?
I'm a professor emeritus of the Department of Statistics at Miami University. And after 34 years, I decided to devote my life to podcasting. No, I decided to continue the podcasting and other activities. I was the co-founder of the podcast, and I've been one of the panelists throughout its existence. And it's a true labor of love.
So, John, let's start right there. As one of the founders, as one of the original people on the Stats and Stories, what inspired you and others to start the podcast?
So every good series starts with an origin story, doesn't it, Ron? The origin story here is a seed was planted back in 2009. The chair of the Department of Journalism, then chair, Richard Campbell, and I were team teaching a class called News and Numbers. And it was basically a proof of concept class to think about the idea of what would a quantitative literacy class look like that might be taken, you know, in maybe non-technical fields. And we ended up doing this and just had a delightful time in this process. There were a lot of radio programs at that time that were starting to transfer to a podcast world. Science Friday and Freakonomics were two that were kind of really resonant for me. And Freakonomics in particular, because you had this economist and journalist partnership that was key to that. So Richard and I had that as a place to start. The other thing is around 2011, I was starting on the board of directors with ASA, and ASA was starting to think about its 175th anniversary celebrations at that time, and things came together. Well, what's one of the things that we could do to think about our discipline at the time, but also to build on the idea of a collaboration and a partnership with journalism? And this was our shot, and we thought, well, okay, let's see how long this works. And I never thought I'd be talking to you in 2024 about it, Ron.
Well, we are delighted that you are talking to us in 2024 about it and that we're talking about 2025, which is even more exciting. So I'd like to have you talk a little bit more about your current partnership. I'm going to turn the tables. And Rosemary, I'm going to ask you to tell me what you think John's unique strengths are that he brings to the podcast. And then John, I'm going to ask you to do the same for Rosemary. So Rosemary, over to you.
Well, I mean, obviously, he's the stats part of the podcast. But even more than that, I think John does such a nice job of asking questions about statistical concepts in an accessible way. I use statistics in my research, but I feel like I have just learned so much from being part of the podcast. And one of the reasons is that I think John asks really smart questions that obviously I wouldn't think to ask as someone who is not a specialist in stats. And I think that has to benefit the audience. I imagine, you know, those college students or those high school students who are listening and trying to get a sense of what is it that stats actually does? What can it help me do? But also all of those people who maybe they're journalists, maybe they're John's dad, right? Trying to figure out what this means for them in their everyday lives. And I think he does such a nice job of just thinking about those concepts and explaining them in an accessible way. And then getting our guests to also feel comfortable explaining these sometimes very complicated things in a way that is easy to understand. And that's a gift.
So Rosemary, I think I'll keep doing this with you. I mean, You know, for me, Rosemary is just an amazing moderator and panelist. She had this experience as someone who had done public radio and in fact had been part of the origin and maintaining of a podcast. So she has just this incredible experience base that she draws on. I've just delighted in watching her work and seeing how someone who is a professional in this field, I'm someone who is very fresh in doing this, and I was learning a lot about how do you do an on-air interview? How do you think about pacing of a program? How do you think about constructing, creating, engaging? You know, one of the things that I found really encouraging is over the course of our partnership together, I find myself thinking of questions and then she asks them. We've been working sufficiently closely on the podcast to kind of overlap in terms of how we would approach a subject and approach the guests. And last but not least, I mean, she's got a great on-air presence, the perfect radio voice. I feel like I'm just like a screeching chalk on a chalkboard in comparison to this lovely tenor and voice that she possesses. So, I mean, I've learned a tremendous amount, and I hope to keep learning.
Well, it is delightful to listen to both of you on the podcast, as I have for many years. It does sound very professional all the time, and Rosemary certainly brings a lot to that table. And I love to give John a hard time about things. We go back a few years. But ordinarily, when I listen to a podcast or a talk show or whatever, and the host is talking to somebody about their book or their paper or whatever, sometimes I'm a little skeptical about whether the person has actually read the stuff, but I know John. John reads like crazy, and he has read the stuff, and that really adds to the podcast and to the quality of the questions as well. So while we're thinking back on the podcast, I'll ask you too, Rosemary, but let me start with John. What's been one or more for that matter of your favorite memories or standout moments from the podcast?
You know, when you're looking at 350 plus episodes, that's a really hard question. And Rosemary and I were talking about this last evening after we had recorded an episode. And one thing that came up that we both kind of agreed on was the idea of a fun conversation. If you're engaged in a conversation with a guest that's really enjoying what they're doing and really brings that passion, interest, engagement, and it's an easy conversation, that's always fun. I mean, I love to learn and I love to do this in a context where someone is bringing that enthusiasm and I enjoy it. I guess I would mention two, maybe three other types of things that I've enjoyed. One would be being able to talk to the winners of the International Prize in Statistics. So having these episodes with Brad Efferon and Nan Laird and the conversation with them about what they did, how they came to do what they did as a career is really a delight and an honor and for someone in our field to have these kinds of conversations. I've really felt a passion and an interest in making sure that we had a lot of episodes that were touching on topics of misinformation and consumption of news and detecting that and inoculating against this type of misinformation. So the episodes with Sandra van der Linden and Francesca Tripodi have been a couple of others that I've really valued those. And the last one that I'll mention was a number of years ago, the Royal Stats Society had their Statistics of the Year. And that was always fun to think about this rollout of stats of the year and what that might look like. So those are the ones that come up, and I could keep going on, but you know, we don't want to talk about all 350.
Thanks, John. How about you, Rosemary?
One of the guests I think we interviewed very early in my tenure on Stats and Stories was David Spiegelhalter, who was such a wonderful guest and just always made me feel very comfortable. And again, like I am someone who uses stats in my work, but am by no means an expert. And starting the podcast felt a little overwhelming at first because I did science and medical reporting in my past life, but not needing to know, I think, some of the things that I feel like I need to know now when I'm interviewing folks. And Spiegelhalter just was a wonderful guest, explains things well, has a great sense of humor, and my nerves went away pretty quickly. And so whenever he was on, it was always great. I've really enjoyed, obviously, talking to the journalist we get on the show. Mona Chalabi is one of the standouts when she was talking about how she hand draws her data visualizations. I teach a multimedia journalism class, and I'm always trying to get students comfortable with the idea of visualizing data. They're very simplistic visualizations, and I always show them Mona's work. And so that conversation was helpful for me to think about how I teach in the classroom. And then I'm going to use recency bias and talk a little bit about a guest we had on in December, who is Burkhard Militzer, who is a friend of mine, who's an astrophysicist who has done this modeling that has suggested the ways we think about how Uranus and Neptune exist as a planet and how their magnetic fields are generated might be wrong. And that was really interesting for me to be able to bring on someone I know personally who is doing such interesting work and be able to ask them the questions and just have this really interesting conversation with someone I know, which we often do on this show. But being able to have Burkhardt on was actually really fun.
That's great. Well, we've alluded to the next generation of stats and stories. And we are moving into a new stage where the ASA role in stats and stories will become more significant, including the fact that our very own Kim will be the executive producer with lots of help from folks at Miami. I'm interested to hear from both of you. What are you excited about? What the future of this collaboration as we begin 2025? And Rosemary, I'll start with you.
I think for me, the thing that has been sticking out is the sense of stability that I think this change in our partnership provides the podcast. Miami has been very supportive of stats and stories, but there's always a concern that resources might dry up, or again, that the ability to be able to support the podcast might go away. And in higher ed is facing a lot of challenges right now. And so that's been a continual concern for me. And so the fact that we are now going to be an ASA podcast. We have Kim working with us. And there's an opportunity, perhaps, for if John or I decide to leave, that there's a structure here in place where someone else could come in and take over the show and that it can continue to exist. Because that's really important to me, because I think the podcast we've been doing does serve a purpose beyond just sort of us having a good time, right? Like it feels like public scholarship in a way. And I would love to see it continue, even if at some point we can't. So I think that's what this partnership does, is that stability and longevity.
That's great. And I love that characterization of public scholarship. I think that that is just spot on. We are excited about adding that stability, but we are not interested in hearing that John and Rosemary won't be a part of the podcast.
We talk about it all the time, and I'm always like, as long as you are still having fun doing this, I want to continue doing this. So I think, it might be this like thing where we're watching the train come down in like 20 years. Do we still want to keep doing this? Because I don't know that either one of us is going to be the one who wants to leave.
That's great. So, John, what about you? What are you most excited about as we enter this new phase of our collaboration?
Well, that's a good question. I want to follow up on one thing that Rosemary said, is I love the idea of having an archive of these conversations that would be available into the future. And I think that this partnership puts that in play. This is a guarantee of that. I'm not sure would have been in place otherwise. So I think that's a really important aspect of this. I also want to make sure we give a tip of the hat to Barry Nussbaum. He was a guest on the show, but ultimately, as when he was thinking about his presidential initiatives with ASA, he thought, maybe partnering with those jokers at Miami might be an okay thing to do. And that led us to this start of this. And I look at this as a natural evolution of a really important partnership that we've been enjoying for years now, but it's just transferring some of the responsibility and hosting aspects of this. I find that's going to be really useful. I also think that with ASA's more central involvement in the production and of this, there's also going to be greater opportunities to help promote this. A lot of our promotion has been casual, word of mouth, or the appropriate equivalents that if you think about of social media equivalents of that. And I think there's a talented pool of people that think about communication at ASA. So I think this has the possibility of multiplying the reach of the program. And I find that to be very exciting.
So 350 plus episodes is an amazing thing just all by itself. But one of the things that's both amazing and encouraging about that is that 350 plus episodes in, there's still plenty to talk about. So with that in mind, John, what are some things you have in mind or hope to see explored in the future of Stats and Stories?
Well, we spend a lot of time thinking about topics that have this immediacy of concern. So I think that we're going to continue to be reactive in a good way to changing problems and challenges that we see covered. I think that we're going to see the ideas of misinformation and how do you deal with that? How do you be a critical consumption of news? How do you really understand the quantitative arguments that are embedded in stories? I don't see that going away. I see the big questions that might be related to how do we think about, say, climate change or these other giant questions, and what are the kinds of studies that are done? How do people understand them? There are always going to be these new studies. So Rosemary mentioned that our conversation recently with an astronomer who was talking about what kind of data might lead to simulations to understand why gravitation on ice giant planets looks different than here. What's going to be that next scientific study? Rosemary and I cast a pretty wide net in terms of subjects that we like to think about. And it could be a story of a bird, you know, parrots exhibiting relative frequency reasoning, which we've had on episodes. Those are topics that both entertain, amuse, and make us want to look a little closer. There is an answer in here somewhere, Ron, and I know you're hoping that I'll find it at some point. But the general sense of this is that we're going to continue to be looking for opportunities to do things that are timely, of general interest, and that'll cover a diversity of topics that might be of general interest.
And that was quite a good answer, John, actually. And Rosemary, what's on your mind going forward?
One thing that John and I have discussed, which I'd love to sort of think about how we can do in the new year, is doing kind of limited series of interviews about a topic. I, in my youth, had dreamed of being an astronomer. And so I would love to bring in more researchers who are doing work around that. Like, I just don't understand, like, how do you measure Jupiter when you can't be in Jupiter? Like, those are the questions that in my off time, I'm sort of puzzling through. And I would love to try to do like little short series, like, you know, stats and stories in space, or other kinds of things, you know, stats and stories in the Amazon, if we had someone to come in and talk about climate change or deforestation in that region. And I'm just thinking about how can we package really interesting conversations in ways that narratively make sense. And again, are like adding to a broader conversation, whether it's about something timely or not. Like, I think we are always thinking about the timely thing. And that's, for me, I'm a journalist by training. Like, I'm always thinking about what's happening now. But I also want to think about, like, are there conversations we can have about broader issues that we could have in a bit more depth, you know, over time? And that's kind of what I'm thinking about in this new year.
That's great. I look forward to the first Stats and Stories series for sure. Well, I wanted to ask a question about how the ASA community can be involved in helping set the direction of Stats and Stories. And maybe I want to add on to that is, what would you like from the ASA community? Not only how can they be involved, but what would you ask of them? And John, I'll start with you.
We're always interested in suggestions for stories and guests that might be interested in talking about work. So when this goes live, this episode probably will have been released, but we're going to have an interview coming up about name, image, and likeness in sports. And that was a suggested topic to us with a suggested guest. So I would put the general call out to the community. Who's doing work that's just really cool that people would be interested in hearing more about? And, you know, particularly if they're good talkers, that someone that can really help elucidate concepts that they think are going to be pretty important. I could see that as a great source. The other source is I would invite particularly educators that are out there to think about how would they use a podcast like this. What are ways that they might find this as maybe a component of lesson plans? That's something that Cause did and talked about, kind of how might this be used. But I would put this as a general challenge. There's information out here that could be used. How might you do that? What might this look like if you were going to incorporate lesson plans where you'd involve a resource like this? Yeah, I think Rosemary and I both think of this as a resource, could be for stat classes, could be for data journalism, intro journalism classes. It could be for the larger public. Those are some of the ways that I think about using it.
Rosemary, what would you like from the ASA community?
I think John wrapped it up because I would immediately have said, like, ideas. We are often getting ideas. I mean, I get a lot of them from reading the news, and then John, you know, from sort of interpersonal connections. And then we'll often both come across a study and be like, we should talk to these people. But our window is limited based on our own experiences and interest. And the other thing I was thinking about is we do lots of contests on Stats and Stories. You know, we've done the Better Bays contest. We've done the meme contest. I think there was something else. Oh, the data visualization contest. And we love to do that because I think it's such a nice way to engage with the listeners. And if people have ideas about what they would like to do for that or what they think we should do, I think we would love to hear them. Every time we have a big milestone, John's like, what's our next thing? And I think we are running out of ideas ourselves.
I just want to jump on there. We did build a big data set for this. One of the things we've talked about doing is building an R package with the database of all of our episodes in it. Maybe there's someone that would like to be involved in helping do that.
What a great ask. And I suspect we can find some folks that would be willing to do that. So I listen to a lot of podcasts, and often the host says, what you can do for us or for the podcast is, if you're inclined, give us a 5-star rating, because that's the best way to raise the profile. And so I'm just going to say, ASA community, if you're inclined, you can give Stats and Stories a 5-star rating and maybe Practical Significance too. But I don't want to ask for too much.
Practical significance will take however many stars you have left. Rosemary, thinking ahead again now, a few years, what would success look like? As you think about that, what would success look like for Stats and Stories?
I think continuing to grow our audience, that's something that we have worked hard at. But as John alluded to, it's been a very kind of casual thing for us because it's something we've been doing on top of our other jobs. And I would love to figure out how to get the podcast in front of new eyes. We're trying to always get it in front of journalists. I think a lot of these conversations would be helpful and in front of educators. But for me, success would be not feeling like it is a struggle to do that, that we are reaching both of those audiences well and are able to sort of connect with the audience in the journalism side of things. I think as easily as we connect to the stats folks, we have a pretty easy time getting stats folks to come on board. Getting journalists on board or is a little more of a struggle. And part of that is like journalists just don't like to be interviewed. Like we don't like to talk about what we do. We just want to produce it and be done. And so trying to sort of get through that and just sort of reach that group for me is something I've been thinking about a lot and would like to see us do a better job of.
That's great, Rosemary. John, what would you have to add?
This kind of ties to the idea about what ASA could also be doing. And that's ASA is a society that may have relationship with other professional societies. And that's something that I could see maybe those types of connections would grow. What would success look like as we go to the future? I think Rosemary hit most of those ideas. I love the idea of making sure that we keep expanding the historic archive of the voices in our discipline that we're preserving for the future, for future generations that won't necessarily get a chance to meet these people at meetings.
Well, thanks to both of you. We are very excited about what 2025 and beyond will bring for us. We have some traditions, and the traditional last question is to ask our guests what they're reading, listening to, thinking about, watching. And so, John, start with you. What's a book recommendation or movie recommendation or all of the above that you'd like to share?
There's a book recommendation that I think, Donna, you're going to have to get. And Ron, I think you'd enjoy too. I'm waiting for the third book in the series by Jeremy Robinson, The Good Boys series. Think Dogs from Space. I'm waiting for that. I'm currently reading sort of an alternate history book, the Travis Starner Imperium series, which is an alternate history of ancient Rome that's been a lot of fun. I'll just stop there because I have a pretty extensive list of books, as Ron alluded to, and I'm not going to torture more than that.
Yeah, he does. And when John says he's currently reading, that means that that will be done in the next 2 or 3 days and it will be on to something else.
Rosemary, what about you?
Well, I just saw Wicked not too terribly long ago, and I have never seen this stage show, and it was incredible. So whether you like musicals or not, I think you will enjoy the film, but I had a really great time. And I've been watching lots of old black and white Kurosawa films lately too. So I love Japanese cinema, so that's been something I've been doing for fun. And I also am working on a research project about Muslims in Appalachia. And so right now, a lot of my reading is on Appalachia. And so I'm reading several books about Appalachia that I cannot find the title of right now, except for there's one which may be of interest to folks. It's about members of the Orthodox Church in Appalachia. It's called Between Heaven and Russia. And so it's people who in this one town in West Virginia largely, who have converted to Russian Orthodoxy over the years. And the scholar is kind of trying to puzzle out, like, well, what drew them? What are they trying to do? What connections are they trying to forge? I'm from Appalachia, and I did not know that there were members of the Russian Orthodox Church in Appalachia. And it's been really interesting to kind of see their perspectives on both being Appalachian and also Orthodox. And that's been one of the most fascinating things I've been reading lately.
Oh, that's great. Well, you've definitely added to my TBR list. We have actually another tradition on practical significance, and that is that we always end with Ron's top 10. So, with a thank you to our guests, I'll turn it over to Ron for his top 10.
Thank you, Donna. We're celebrating the start of the 5th year of Practical Significance, which, as you learn in this podcast, is, we could say, the younger sibling of Stats and Stories. I got to thinking, which by the way, is probably the most dangerous set of four words that I can utter, that there are a lot of ways to celebrate a fifth anniversary that involve the word fifth. So here are the top 10 ways to celebrate the start of the fifth year of practical significance. Number 10, you can pour a fifth. Listeners are reminded to drink responsibly. Number 9, shift into fifth gear. Listeners are reminded not to drink and drive. Number 8, stream The Fifth Element and watch Bruce Willis save the world. Number 7, celebrate the Year of the Dragon, the fifth year in the Chinese zodiac. Well, you can celebrate for a few more weeks at least. Number 6, explore the Fifth Estate in your browser, unless you are a clergy, nobility, a commoner, or the press. Number 5, play a perfect fifth on your favorite musical instrument. Number 4, study the circle of fifths, which is beautifully musical and mathematical. Number 3, dance to the music of fifth harmony. Number 2, while celebrating, steer clear of Dante's fifth circle of hell, as the River Styx is notably unfriendly to parties. And the number 1 way to celebrate the start of the fifth year of practical significance, plead the fifth. Well, that's it for this episode of Practical Significance. We look forward to continuing the conversation with you next month.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Practical Significance, the podcast of the American Statistical Association. A new episode will be coming your way next month from AmStat News, the ASA's monthly membership magazine.